By the way, has there been any more news stories of Mossad agents getting busted in New Zealand? It seems like your country is their favorite country. They just love to go over there and get into some shady business.
Dude, you talk to anybody in the world, really, and you say, "I'm from New Zealand." And they go, "Oh, you know, like you, oh, you're so lucky, so beautiful, and Lord of the Rings, etc." So, you go into any airport in the world and you flash your New Zealand passport. They're like, "Oh, welcome." Because we're all friendly and stuff like that, you know, we're nice people. You go anywhere in the world other than Israel and the United States and you flash an Israeli passport. They're like, "Oh." You know, you go anywhere in the Middle East or Asia, flashing an American passport, and they're like, "Oh." So naturally, they steal New Zealand and Canadian passports and just use them because everybody thinks that New Zealand and Canadians aren't threatening. So that's how the threatening people get slipped through, by using your passports. And John Key is the head of the New Zealand Zionist Society, and the head of Freemasons New Zealand, and he's the Prime Minister, and he's the Minister for Tourism. And when the Christchurch earthquake happened, three Israelis were caught in a van, and they had like 11 New Zealand passports on them.
Yes, sir.
And then he said, "Well, one of them died, so we can't do much about that. But two of them are alive, so let's send them on a plane and get them the heck out of here really quickly, and then deny that there's any wrongdoing going on." It's just that straight out in the open. It's real obvious to me because I know what I'm looking for. You know, if you show somebody a Where's Waldo or Where's Wally kind of picture book, and you don't tell them what Wally looks like. Where the hell's Wally? Is he the fat guy wearing the sunglasses? Is he the woman with the mustache? Is he the child with the little sandcastle bucket and spade? You know, I can't find where Wally is unless I know who the hell Wally is and what Wally looks like. And I can absolutely assure you, New Zealanders are just as dumb as Americans when it comes to knowing what the hell is going on in their own country. Just as dumb. No idea whatsoever. You walk up to anybody in this country who's got any kind of political affiliation with any type of mainstream media or political party, and they don't have a fracking capacity to understand or even conversate for more than a minute with anybody who has contrary facts, contrary evidence, or a contrary point of view. And they will literally, without even so much as saying goodbye, just turn their back on you and walk away and start talking along with somebody else who's telling them the same thing they've already heard many, many times before. You know why? Because mind control, as the CIA found out, is addictive. And when you're part of a group, I think that group kind of owns you in a little way, you know? I'm a member of the National Party. I'm a member of the Republicans. Really? Where do they hide their members? In their pants? What's going on here? What's their main policy towards the economy? Oh, to help it. Help it how? Oh, see, you don't know what you're talking about, mate. You don't know who you're supporting. You don't even know the name of the second person in command. You know, like, you don't know anything. And that's exactly how they like it. It's a hell of a lot easier to lead people who are morons than it is to lead people who are smart and can think for themselves. Sheep are able to be herded together with only a few sheepdogs. You try to get a group of truthers together, it's impossible. They all hate each other, they've all got differences of opinion, they cannot be get in the same room together. It's impossible to bring the truth movement together. Believe me, I've seen people try and fracking fail big time, monstrously. The more people try to bring other people together, the worse things get. So my opinion is, how about we adopt a pre-World War I United States foreign policy to stay the frack out of everybody's fracking business.
Wait, you mean the United States doesn't have to be the world police? I don't understand. That doesn't compute.
This is the real problem. If you want to be if you want to be famous worldwide, you have to be famous in America. It's just that simple. They got all the media, they got all the money, they got all the government, they got all the weapons, they got all the banking cartels. All right. You can be famous in Europe, but if you're not famous in America, you're not famous worldwide. Okay? Once you get big in America, you get big everywhere. It's just the way it has become structured. And
if you're famous in the United States alone, then you can claim you're famous around the world.
Yeah,
world-renowned.
Exactly. Because there'll probably be a person in nearly every single country that looks at American TV and American this and American that. And voila, you have yourself fame and celebrity. Which is actually what I choose to create. Both for myself and the guests on my shows and all these other people that I collaborate with. Because what I've noticed is there's two types of celebrities. The type of celebrity who has no freaking brains and is just basically a vacuous satanic cult member who sells the Pepsi and what have you and has no idea what the heck they're doing. And the other kind are the ones who are aware of what is going on and actually choose to use their reputations to get out information. The problem is all the people that get into that position start losing those positions as soon as they start getting out the information, because they got out there not because they were putting out information. They got out there because they were putting out a fictional character. Okay, on a film or a radio show or something like that. They're not talking about anything real. So as soon as they do start talking about something real, the game changes for them. I believe, on the other hand, that if you make somebody famous for talking about things that are real, there's nothing that can be taken away from them. Nothing. They keep working all day, every day. Holy cow, and jumping Shiite Muslim balls. There's so many people out there who are just working day in, day out. The documentary here, 7 hours of radio there. I'm now one of those people. And what I've figured out about them all is that they just want to live their lives in peace. They don't actually want to be doing any of this. This is my conclusion as well. The problem is they understand what happens if they don't. You can't leave it alone. Because it
yeah,
will
you're
not,
backed into a corner.
It will not leave you alone. I tried. I tried taking 10 days off after the election to forget about all of this stuff. And I get interrupted like on average 6 times a day by people still wanting to bring this stuff up to me. And all I wanted to do was sit at home and watch some illegally downloaded movies. You know, what's wrong with that? You know? And that's the thing. You can't escape from it. What was really interesting, Madison, is that today, it was the first day back after my 10-day holiday. And you know what? Instead of being relieved that I was going on holiday, I was relieved to be back in the saddle. Relieved to be exposing scumbaggery. Relieved to be talking with people about all sorts of stuff. Because during that time off, I recognised something. There really ain't no day off you can take. It's like, if you've ever seen that movie with Will Smith, where he's trapped in New York and it's kind of all dead, a virus has wiped everybody out. Legend, I Am Legend?
Yes.
Right, and he tells this lady a story about Bob Marley. You know, he believed that he could cure racism, like literally cure it by injecting music into people's lives, you know, like the music was the vaccine vernacular, right?
Yes.
And he was shot one time a day before the concert, and the very next day, he walks on to stage, bandaged up, and does a performance. And he said, if the bad people don't take a day off, neither can I. And then he later died of cancer. Because this is what happens when you don't take a day off. Okay.
It's very true, unfortunately.
Look at it this way, bro. You know, you're one person. And let's say you don't take a day off for 7 years, as my father did. He accomplished two things. Firstly, he
gained 5 vans and 5 electricians and a major warehouse in Auckland with enough business, and he pioneered CB radios for communication with the vans while they were out on jobs so they didn't have to come back into the station to go out and work. He created Eastwood Forklift Tires, which by the late 80s, early 90s, had a 97% market share for the sale of forklift tires in the Southern Hemisphere. What he also accomplished is having virtually no contact with me, his youngest son, or my sisters, or my brother, and a divorce happened. Okay? So this is what happens when you don't take time off. The things that are actually really important to you, the things that you will regret later on in life, in private, are they actually the things you should be focusing your attention on when needs be? Not your accomplishments. Your accomplishments will be there because once you accomplish something every day, it'll still be there, but it'll still be there tomorrow. However, your loved ones, if they're having to talk to the back of your head while you're stuck at a computer screen every fracking day and never get to have any real personal conversations or any fun with you because you're too busy doing your important work saving humanity and building your media empire and whatnot, the people who were there to support you and get you through that that growth phase in the first place will no longer be there in days to come because you have to spend time developing your relationships with the people around you. And you also have to understand what's going on inside yourself, knowing when you need to take a few days off, knowing when you need to go out and blow off some steam, knowing when you're hungry, knowing when you need another coffee. These kind of things, they sound really simple, but have you ever noticed that the most complicated problems always seem to have the simplest solution? And that's really what it's about, is finding real simple solutions to all these complicated problems so that we can keep working, keep accomplishing things without burning ourselves out and without destroying our families and our relationships with the people that matter. Because those are the people that are actually in your life all the time. You know, my listeners don't see me every day, but most of them will never, ever meet me. Okay. So,
and they also won't be the ones, picking you up off the floor after you have a heart attack or you know, the like.
However, they are the ones who finance me. Okay, I survive pretty much solely on donations and subscriptions, of which right now I need. I really, really need some donations, like right now, because my bank accounts are dry. They are drier than the drought-stricken, chemtrailed central plateaus of the USA right now. And I am struggling to find some money to pay my rent. And this is because I forgot to focus on what I should be doing, is manufacturing more products, making more sales, and going out and calling up advertisers and all of that sort of thing. Because it's really, really hard to produce the show, produce the content, edit it, upload it, and do all these different favors for all these different people, and stay on top of all the stuff that I need to be doing for myself. This is the reason why a lot of people tend to withdraw and then start making it all about them, because they realize that you can't help everybody. And if you try, you're not going to be helping yourself, and you're going to get further and further into a cycle of debt, depression, and then eventually you will start to become narcissistic, you will start to lose your empathy, you will start to not like people anymore, because I'm doing all this for them, but they're not doing anything for me. It's like, you didn't ask them for help, did you, mate? So, well, no. They were listening to you very intently, they love you, they support you, and you don't ask them for help when you need it, and then blame them for not helping you? Retard? You know? That's
yeah,
why I am,
very
I am,
true.
I am unashamed to ask for donations. Here's why. Firstly, I'm the only person in New Zealand that you can really come to see any video or radio content about damn near any guest on the frickin' internet that you could see on the bigger shows from coast to coast or Red Ice Radio or whatever. Secondly, And the only place on online in New Zealand where you can watch all of these things on video, all of the protests live in HD and all of that kind of stuff, because I have an unlimited internet account here with unlimited upload length on my videos. I'm the only person who's going out there filming the public meetings and the protests and uploading them. Plenty of people film them, but nobody uploads them. Right, well, virtually nobody. And if they do upload them, it's just a raw short video that's poor quality with terrible sound, with very little actual talking or anything really of much use going on. Okay, I'm the only person that does it. Support me, and you are by proxy supporting every single fracker out there who is trying to mess with the New World Order. It's just that simple. This is my model. I understand how absolutely necessary it is to have a media platform. Okay? I understand. I also understand how impossible it is to get mainstream media to take you fracking seriously. I also understand how impossible it is to get an activist who's used to dealing with pencils and papers and pens and public meetings and public speeches and PowerPoint presentations to have the time or the effort that is necessary to organise and or produce a radio show and or any type of televised videography or interview. And I understand that even if they did know how to organise that, they wouldn't have the time to do it. And even if they could, they would probably rather pay somebody else to do it. But they can't. So, what I do is I give my time to those people who have been had attempts on their lives, who have been attending public meetings and raising voices of protest against varying forms of scumbaggery for decades, who have never, until I came along, had a video online, never come on air, on real AM, FM radio bands with proper listeners. They are now getting compliments and greater hits and more support from people who show up to support them because they heard them on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. These people bleed and sweat and cry and fight and bite and spit for me. And so I must repay them. What other people don't realise is that they are also doing it for them. So you must listen to them. These people have innate wisdom, great lessons to teach. Journalists and reporters no longer exist in the conventional form. As far as I am concerned, those people who are out there doing this kind of activism, exposing the truth, are now the reporters and journalists. And I seek to give them the recognition that they deserve. And this is a good little dance that I have struck here, whereby I can shamelessly promote myself and instantly have moral justification for doing so, because any support that I get, I give back tenfold to the people who truly deserve your eyes and your ears' attention.